Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. Today we're at the Bridgestone Arena, the frigid Bridgestone Arena on top of the ice with the Nashville Predators. And I'm joined by one hot guitar player, guitar slayer, Justin Lyons. Justin, how you doing?
What's up, man? I'm blessed. I'm good. How you doing, my man?
Real good, man. Justin's a guitar player for Machine Gun Kelly, MGK. And so how did you get this gig?
Travis Barker.
Okay, how'd that phone call come?
Well, I used to play with Lil Wayne for a short time.
That's right.
And they were doing a tour together. And me and him just came, you know, very acquainted.
Yeah.
And MGK needed a guitarist for the Tickets tour. And so he hit me up and was like, hey, my friend needs a guitarist. Can you do it? I was like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, just been locked in ever since, 5 years now.
Now, we had talked a little bit off camera and you said that kind of this was your first kind of foray into punk rock.
Yeah.
You have a huge musical background. You play all sorts of music, record and produce all sorts of music. But this is kind of your first kind of run with punk rock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's been your experience now, a couple years on the gig? And a perspective from a guitar player, because it's probably something you never played before
much. For sure. As a guitarist, I will say this is an incredible lane to tackle because you're a guitarist. Come on, you know? But being a guitarist and like everything being guitar driven just makes everything cooler. I think in other scenarios, the guitarist displays a different perspective, more like an auxiliary instrument, if you would say, you know?
Yeah.
So being here and it's like everything's guitar forward, it's like, hell yeah, let's rock out. You know?
And even the boss plays, so guitars are on full display.
Full-blown guitar. So, and now we have four guitarists on this particular tour.
Wow.
So just learning your lane, learning your frequency, all of that, it just matters, yeah.
Now, to that point, how do you find what you got to do and then also think of the bigger sandwich or the bigger pie? What's your role when it comes to the sonics and the, like you said, the frequencies and stuff?
Yeah, well, I think in these kinds of moments, like, I think as a producer as well, like a EQ system, you know, my forte is mids. I love mids, you know, because I feel like in an arena environment, like you just need to cut through as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sophie, she handles more of the top end.
Okay.
You know, and then we have No Love, that he's more on the chunkier side with rhythms.
Okay.
And then we just let the boss do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, so we just cover the full spectrum of an EQ model.
Now, because you come from a background of production and MDs, are you allowed to have some say in that type of?
Yeah.
So like you and the boss kind of go over that.
Yeah, we all talk about it. Yeah, we all talk about it just so we don't like step on anyone's toes. And with everyone thinking like a producer, that's what makes everything translate like the record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's really fun.
Now to go back even further before Lil Wayne, I have to ask because I've never talked to a guitar player that's worked in this sphere is K-pop.
Yeah.
How did you get that gig? And then what was that experience like?
Bro, I did K-pop for 10 years before everybody in America started even knowing about it. Yeah. So I got that call from Lil Wayne's music director.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he was doing K-pop career. He has a crazy roster. But it came from Twitter when social media was starting to be like a booming sensation. I had already did like a lot of gigs around, but getting into this next atmosphere of like touring. Came from Twitter. He hit me up and he just posted and said, hey, I'm looking for African-American guitarist for overseas opportunity. And I have my passport on me. And I replied, I have my passport. I'll leave now.
Really?
Yeah. And he loved my response. And that got me the gig.
Wow.
Just being ready.
Take a chance.
Just being ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then your time over there, what was that like, your experience and just kind of how that's similar because you're performing, but it's a little different, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a lot different. So we were brought in to urbanize their music.
Okay.
So everything that everybody's hearing now and getting like the live feels of the K-pop show, like we were the ones who like really set that foundation. So going in there, just an empty canvas, not knowing what we were stepping into, it was fun because it was like we were blueprinting it. So it was like no right or wrong way to do it, you know? So it was really cool just being hands-on with Gil and AP and the rest of the guys, just modifying the sound and playing a real big part into that K-pop lane, man.
It's huge now.
Yeah, it's very huge, but doing like K-pop versus this, like K-pop, we were mainly behind the screens. Mm-hmm. Every now and then they might bring us out and like we'll have a band moment where now people are identifying our face with the sound.
Okay.
And here it's no screens.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, like and MGK is really big on like letting everybody know like we are Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
So he wants us to be like full throttle in our artistry as well, you know?
Well, a question to follow up on that, completely flipping the script, is, you know, behind the scenes in K-pop, but Dallas being your hometown, you've worked a lot with the sports teams, being kind of the guitar player that's revamped the Mavericks intro music. Can you talk about that experience and what you've done there?
Man, that was fun, actually, man. As I've done my research, that song, Eminence Front, by The Who, has been like their staple song maybe 20-something years for the Dallas Mavericks organization. And just randomly, one of my good guys, White T, what's up, T? He hit me up. I was already doing the national anthem for the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
You know, it's some kind of, you know, camaraderie there and everything. So the Mavericks wanted me to do the national anthem there. Just going into playoff season, getting ready for playoffs, they asked me to do the national anthem. I was like, cool, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to just give a different experience of what the national anthem could be like from a guitarist perspective, stylistically, everything. And they just said, hey, how about you, can you revamp our intro? I was like, sure, of course. And it just put a little, you know, rock star energy to it, you know, and created something that they really loved. And actually, the one that they chose was just my demo version.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't even finished with it yet. I was like, well, this is what I'm working with so far. What do you guys think? This is great. We'll take it. I'm like, I wasn't done. So, but that's also a lesson to me, just knowing when enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because what I thought wasn't great, somebody else thought it was great. So just relaxing in that. But man, I'm honored that they loved it, and I shifted the energy for that time.
Yeah, and it was a big part of what they did in 2024. I know they didn't get the crown. For Celtics sure. got it, but it was still the crowd going.
Yeah, we went all the way, and I was glad to be a part of that legacy.
Now, for yourself, how do you get pumped up for a show like this? Obviously, there's a lot of energy when you're on stage and the blood's pumping, but is there anything you do to get ready to get into your performer mindset each night?
Man, I meditate, man. Me personally, I read a scripture. I listen to some meditation piece music sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because like I already know what energy is coming. So for me, it's kind of like just letting it rumble. So once I get on stage, it's a total different mindset.
Yeah.
And I have a athletic background. So for me, like, I take my athletic teachings and I apply it to the stage. And that helps me even just being very mobile on stage. And I'm a very dramatic player. You know what I'm saying? Emotionally, everything. So I just use my athletic background to tap into that.
Do you got any guitar players that you would say you would pull that from that are really, you know, flamboyant and go for it on stage?
Of course, like my favorite flamboyant guitarist has to be Prince.
Yeah.
You know, but when you look at even Jimi Hendrix, he wasn't necessarily trying to be, he just was.
Yeah, he was in the moment.
Yeah, he was just in the moment, even from stylistically, even from expression. It was just like, hey, playing what I feel, you know? So, but other than that, nah, man, I just kind of march to my own drum now.
Well, good for you, man.
Yeah, man.
And like you said, when people see you, your athleticism shows through because, man, it's like once the ball's tipped in the air or the buzzer goes off, it's go time. Yeah.
It's game time for sure, yeah.
Well, let's get into the game time.
Cool.
Guitars, man. So tell me about it. You got PRS's and Reverence, so we're going to start talking.
Yeah, we have a slew of guitars over here. This is one that my man Wynn Krozak, you know, hit me to over at PRS Center Stage in L.A. And I was like, man, I just need a guitar that's just going to crank. Again, I understand what range I have to attack with the mid-range. So I just needed something that was going to shoot through. And he gave me this Tremonti and... It's definitely one of my favorites. You know what I'm saying? Tone-wise. Color-wise, I would definitely, I don't normally like playing black guitars. You know what I'm saying? Just about getting lost. It's a lot of color. It's a lot of, like me, I'm thinking about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Especially like with me loving like creative direction and things like that, I have to make sure everything just makes sense. From the way the lights are gonna hit the guitar, whatever. I think playing a black guitar, even on TV, it just get lost.
Yeah.
You know, unless that's like the artist's preference and they want the band to kind of be a mute, then cool. But other than that, I would never choose a black guitar.
Now, I know you've been playing PRS's for 10, 15, maybe even 20 years.
Yeah.
I've seen you, some of the Stars and the Maverick stuff, like you have custom colors on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing that, or are you commissioning someone, or is there PRS doing that in
Maryland?
Nah,
we're commissioning someone. Yeah.
Okay, those and, look good, man.
Nah, Weston Brunk from Dallas. He's a great graphic designer, clothes, everything, and he has some partnership with the Dallas Mavericks as well. So we pulled them in to just make it a big Guitar Slayer collaboration with the Mavericks. And yeah, and they designed those pieces and got it approved with the Dallas Mavericks. They loved it, and yeah.
Yeah, because those are showstoppers. Pieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, what should we know about tunings and strings for this gig?
Oh, man, I normally go for 10, sometimes an 11, all 11 right. gauge. Nines I break, first song I broke a string. Yeah, seriously. So now using 10s, they're still a little light for me because of my aggression.
Okay.
But mentally, I'm just learning to tone it down. You know, because otherwise I just break too many strings.
Yeah.
And with our station being so far away from the stage, I have to be conscious of how quick my tech can get to me. Mm. So just the little things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is normally like on any given day, this is my bad boy right here. For color's sake, because of color pop and whatnot, I always got to have a white one.
Oh.
A white custom 24. With the trimming, you can see all the beating on the back, you know, just from it being by my belt buckle. But yeah, and this is one of my go-to guitars as well. Tonality, I have another white one, but they just, the tones are totally different.
Do you prefer kind of the Strat double cut versus the Les Paul style, or do you have a preference?
Nah, I think I'm more of the Les Paul energy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just because it cranks out a little differently. Then I got an early Christmas gift from Reverend Guitars, and they sent me this baby.
Wow.
Actually, both of these babies.
Double barrel.
The Sensei and the Roundhouse. And I have to say, because I'm talking with them now about a possible signature model.
All right.
And they just wanted to send me a few and like to see which one, you know. Man, I haven't been able to put this one down, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's just something about the weight of it.
Oh, yeah.
That feels good. Just one solid piece. It just feels like, yeah, it feels like home, you know?
Yeah.
And tone-wise, it's perfect, especially with the P90s,
yeah.
You know?
Did you request the gold, or did they just kind of surprise you?
No, they surprised me with it. And this is like an exclusive. This color is not even released yet, you know? So they wanted me to have first dibs on it, give it a couple of test runs.
Nice.
And yeah, I love it, man. And this one is more so on the Les Paul side. Still, okay. It has the weight to it as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think most, if not all, Reverends are made from Carina. And I think that adds to kind of keeping it a little bit more manageable in the weight.
Yeah, for sure.
It's
but I love the solid weight, though, because for some reason, the way the strings just resonate through a solid body.
Yeah.
It just feels and sings totally different.
Right,
you know what
on.
I'm saying?
Now, you know, you've just gotten these not that long ago, but what are some things that maybe you can allude to? Obviously, we're talking hypotheticals if you get the signature, but what are some things that maybe you've been talking with the people at Reverend Ken and the team about either changing, or what you'd like different, or, you know, what would make it a Justin guitar rather than just another Reverend?
Yeah, you know what? Right now, it might be just like a for example, definitely a pickup thing. I like the P90s on front, but for me personally, I'm noticing when I'm playing, I accidentally swipe this up so often. So one of the modifications would be, hey, let's move this somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, of course the P90, but even if this one could almost feel similar to the way this feels on me, it feels different. I can't really explain. It just feels different. Maybe the bend of the neck or the way the bodies are, you know, this feels more flatter. So when I'm moving, me personally, when I'm moving, it's moving with me.
Okay.
It's not like fighting me or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have more control over it.
Have you had much experience, and I don't know if this gig pulls it out of you, but I know that Reverend's known for the bass, I think it's called the bass contour knob, and it's kind of like a unique control they have.
It is, man, and I'm just hip to it, though.
Okay.
That's what blew me away, because, like, certain songs I don't have to be so aggressively crunchy on. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, let me roll off on that one.
Yeah.
And still keep the high end. I think it's genius, actually.
Yeah, it's like a trademark of theirs.
Yeah, I think it's really genius. I hit up Ken and I'm like, hey, two-tone offs, what is this? And he started explaining it to me, and I was like, okay, I understand now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really great modification that they have that I definitely love about these
cool,
guitars,
man.
Personally.
And yeah. What are you running on stage? I know that you guys have a pretty clean stage other than the Statue of Liberty behind us, Lady Liberty. But
I know,
what
do
you, well, you got no cabs, so you're up all in ears.
Right.
But what are you running for your tones?
Man, I recently picked up the Fender Tone Master.
Okay.
So as soon as I got the call for the tour, that this tour was going live, I had a profiler at home, and I was just like, man, I sat with it. It just wasn't doing it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went to Guitar Center one day. I saw that was sitting out there. I just plugged it up, and instantly, the tones just sang to me.
Huh.
And then from listening to the album, I feel like the tones that are already built in, like, is married more to this album.
Okay.
Per se. Even though I know they use, like, more analogs and stuff in the recording process to make it. And a lot of the recording process does consist of Kempers. Like, I feel like for my playing style, the Fender Tone Master, man, it's a beautiful work of art.
And it kind of keeps it different than everyone else.
For
I know
sure.
We'll talk to Sophie in a little bit, but she's on Kemper. And so, like, that gives you already a different, you know, thumbprint than everyone else.
Big time. Yeah. 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 MGK is on the Kemper. Our bass player, Kemper. No Love, our other guitarist, all Kempers. Yep.
And other times you've been in interviews, you mentioned when it is, you know, time for analog or tube amps, you're a Mesa Boogie guy.
Yeah.
So what can you talk to us about that's kind of inside the brains of the Fender that you're basing some of your key tones on, like amp-wise? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, well, I still keep a Mesa Boogie in the lineup.
Okay.
I keep a Mesa Boogie in the lineup. Like, the first song that we do is Outlaw Overture, and that's Mesa Boogie.
Okay.
And I just got a green box distortion on top of it, and I'm just crank.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm still able to feel and kind of low-key still kind of imagine that wind of the boost from a Mesa Boogie behind me, you know?
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it. And then I even got a, of course, Mark Lethierry. Shout out to Mark Lethierry from Dallas, you know? I got even his what do you call it?
Like a patch or whatever?
Yeah, his patch in there. Okay. And I just kind of modified and put some different pedals in there. Because you got to have a nice Fender Twin.
Yeah.
You know, on the setup.
Now, man, I want to give a chance to give a shout out to your projects that you're working on and going future. What do you want to do within the Dallas music scene? That's a goal for you, big picture.
Well, I definitely want to dive more into the creative directing space and the artist development space.
Okay.
I feel like it's a missing art now. As I've always said, I feel like Dallas, we have so much talent. We just don't have the infrastructure to develop the talent. Like a New York or LA or Nashville,
okay.
Chicago does. Like, we have the resources, but just not the infrastructure. So I'm very adamant about creating that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I want to give, look, I won't be doing this forever. I'm aware of that. And I'm not going to fight that. You know, when it's my season, it's time to graduate and pass the torch, I would love to. But I would definitely love to do it knowing that they can handle what it's like to tour, the touring lifestyle, the world, because it's more than just playing your instrument every night. It's like real, like, life stuff that we all deal with and have to, like, manage through to still give an A+.
What is some of that you learned? I know this is not to go too far on that deep topic, but, like, what are some things that you've learned as if you, you know, be a tour professional for over a decade, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
What have you learned that you wish you could go back and tell yourself 10 years ago? To have a better life in terms of, like, work-life balance and just performing better?
I think it's that part, balance.
Okay.
I think that's the word I've been floating around, like, everybody tell you on tour, like, balance. For example, like, the tour just started and we're going all the way till July. So in my head, I'm like, yo, again, with my athletic mentality, got to have proper balance, you know, with knowing how much to party, when not to party, how much water to drink. All right, let me add some electrolytes, eat better, all of those things, you know, because I need to have longevity for this
year. It's a long season.
Yeah, you know. And if anything, just telling my younger self, like, yo, a little bit more balance and a little bit more investing.
Yeah.
Whether it's investing financially or investing in other people and all of those things.
Well, cool, man.
Yeah.
I do want to give one more shout out. I saw the Epiphone in there.
Oh,
if you want to bring out Lucille.
This is my baby right here. For those of, well, of course, hey, I'm Justin Lyons. And I started playing at age 5. And my first cassette tape that my mom ever gave me was The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King.
It's a good starting point.
Yeah, man. And I was standing in front of that mirror with my broom. And I would just go at it, man. And my mom was like, yo, let me get this kid a real guitar. Yeah. She brought me a real guitar. But this is Lucille's first tour with me. I've had this guitar maybe 3 years now.
Right.
And I was like, yo, let me paint something to make it like a signature. I'm a painter as well. So I just painted a little signature piece on top of it, man. And yo, it sings to me every time, man.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of nostalgic for me. I think about B.B. King. What would B.B. King do? Rather, it's punk rock, but even just a thrill.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that for a particular song. But yeah, this is one of my favorite pieces, man.
And you got to give a shout out to your dad, because your dad's a guitar player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, shout out to my dad. My dad was my B.B. King growing up. So shout out to Danny. Happy birthday, too. Today is his birthday.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that's special as well. So, yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Danny.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Justin, I appreciate your time, man. We're going to talk
to
Sophie.
Yeah, I'm stoked about this. Thank you, Premier, for connecting the dots to make this happen.
Yeah. Where should people follow you online?
GuitarSlayer.com. Social media is GuitarSlayer24.
I'm surprised that name isn't gone, but you earned it, man.
Man, I earned it, and it's mine.
All right, we're going to talk to Sophie.
All right, blessings, man.
Thank you. All right, now I'm joined by Sophie. Sophie, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Really good. It's been a long time coming. We've been watching you on YouTube for a long time, as I'm sure all of our viewers out there have.
Guys, yeah.
Now, what can you tell us about how you got this gig?
So it was kind of random. It was honestly literally just a DM, a random DM one day that I do a lot, like you say, online on YouTube and stuff. So I kind of had an online career. And then I think it was the drummer's dad followed me, and they were looking for another guitarist because they wanted to use less tracks and stuff in their live shows. And he recommended me. And then one day Cole just literally messaged being like, hey, are you in LA? And I was in London, but I was like, yeah, I can be. Whenever you need, sure. And within like 2 months, I got my visa sorted, and I was out here kind of rehearsing with them already. So I'm very grateful that they took the opportunity to kind of take me on. I don't have much touring experience and stuff. So it's like, it was nice for them to take a chance on me, you know? And hopefully it's paid off.
And can we talk about, you alluded to it, is your record that came out in 2023, Imposter Syndrome. And you've been very open about kind of your onstage anxiety, performance anxiety that you've had. Can you talk about that? And obviously you're doing it, so it's like some of that has to be getting quieter.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it got really bad like around COVID time and stuff. Like, I was nervous to play in front of like my mum and dad. Like, I just would avoid playing live at all costs. And I was like almost grateful COVID happened, because it meant I didn't have to actually do any live gigs. So I was like, oh, thank God. So, but I knew I wanted to overcome that.
Yeah.
And because obviously I want to perform, I do enjoy performing. It's just the anxiety around it was just so crippling to me. So I kind of made it my mission to overcome that myself. And I started by doing things like on Twitch, which was kind of like you had the live scene, but it was also behind a camera. So you kind of had that safety barrier there. Also just being more open about it. And then throughout the making of Imposter Syndrome, the album, there's, you know, people singing on it that I had, they were my heroes growing up as a kid, you know, like Lizzie Hale, Chris Robertson, Michael Starr. And sort of discussing it with them, like what the album meant.
Yeah.
It was so interesting to see that everyone feels the same.
Yeah.
Everyone feels a level of that. Everyone feels that anxiety. And I think that was really healing for me to know the people I looked up to as these like rock gods were like, no, we get you 100%. And like, we're the same. And that was a really healing moment. And then I was writing the album, and then this gig came along, and I was like, well, I've got to take it.
Deep end. You just jumped in the deep end.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, is I was playing like the Purple Turtle, which is like this little bar, the weekend before I came out, of like 50 people. And then 2 days later, I was playing my first arena in front of like 13,000, which was an insane jump. But it was an amazing moment when I did the first arena. I had this kind of moment where I looked out and I was like, this is where I'm meant to be. if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I didn't feel, I actually wasn't anxious. I knew I could do it. Like, I had this kind of empowering feeling of like, damn, okay.
Well, you had the talent.
I can do it. Well, that's the thing. I guess it's just like, you know it, but you don't believe it. Yeah. If you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People can tell you all they want, but it's your self-belief in yourself. It really needs to come from within. And I just didn't have that. But like, now I can pretty much say it's almost completely gone. Like, I did the Rugby World Cup final recently in Twickenham Stadium, which was like by myself in a stadium of like 80,000 people. And I felt so confident. I wasn't really anxious at all. Like, you always get a little bit of nerves, but that's kind of different to the anxiety. And I think it'll always come and go. There's always good days, always bad days. But like, overall, I'm pretty much very proud to say that I've overcome most of it. So,
is there anything that you do to ground yourself or to get in that mindset to kind of conquer, we'll call them demons?
A couple shots of tequila never helps.
It doesn't hurt, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. I think also just sort of, I'll always kind of do like a grounding thing where I'll kind of touch the floor before a show and just sort of positive self-talk, like, this is going to be amazing, just have so much fun, like, you're great, you know, and just sort of talking to yourself in that positive way just before you go on stage, and just connecting with yourself and people around you just really, really helps. And honestly, I just over prepare as well. Like, I just make sure I prepare with distractions. So I'm practicing and my husband will be there throwing stuff at me. The dog is chasing me. Like, I practice for worst case scenarios so that
I'm kind of covered.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, through those dark moments where you didn't want to perform, did playing guitars become less fun?
Yes, I think so. I still enjoyed playing guitar. Like, that's sort of why I think I turned to YouTube, because I enjoyed the creative part of guitar and I did enjoy performing, but it was just like, because I'd had the career online, it felt like, you know, online you can retake things as many times as you want, but live you can't do that. It's kind of like, you don't have that.
No net.
Exactly. And I feel like I'd almost made this bar for myself that I couldn't hit, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like if I played live, people would like see me as this imposter, hence the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And like, I'd be uncovered and everything would go away. So like, that was kind of where the fear came from. So I did still enjoy playing. It was just, I didn't want to play in front of people.
Yeah,
that was what sort of.
Gotcha. Well, you were playing in front of people. You're playing in arenas, like you said, and like football stadiums in your homeland.
Yeah.
But tell me about what you're playing to do those events, which is these awesome Kiesels you came up with.
Yes, indeed. So these are all kind of my signature models that I have with Kiesel, which has been amazing. I was the first female signature artist for Kiesel.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was crazy. And this is what we came up with.
Show this beauty off to the camera.
So this is a bit custom, to be fair. Like, this isn't technically a color thing we offer. Jeff Kiesel painted it specifically for this tour.
Oh, cool.
Lost Americana, theme is red, white, and blue. So he painted this really cool kind of American inspired fade, like this denim kind of fade, which they've just started offering, which is so, so pretty. All of these have a black limber body at the back, which is tonally quite similar to mahogany. It's like that warm kind of round tone, which is what I like. So I loved, played Gibsons before, which I loved, but they were just kind of too heavy for me for like a long 2 hour show. And I like to be silly and throw things around and bend backwards. And it just wasn't like, this is a lot more lightweight compared to like a Gibson. So and you've got this really cool,
the bevel there.
Bevel with like the natural wood binding, which is really, really nice.
Now, backing up a little bit, how did you get connected with Kiesel? Because I know with your YouTube videos and your channel, you play any guitar you can get your hands on, and you've seen me with all sorts of brands, Gibson, Ibanez. So how did you get connected with Kiesel, and how did that feel like the home for you?
So Kiesel, it was actually Rob Caggiano from Volby, recommended
Anthrax.
Yes, recommended them to me. And I sort of looked at them, and again, I just on a whim just sent them an email being like, hi. It was when I had like maybe like 20,000 followers or something on YouTube, just like, hello, I'd like, do you need an artist, whatever? And they sent me, I've got it here today somewhere. Oh, this one. They sent me this one, which I designed. I know I wanted like a purple burst, and they sent me this one. So this, and this then later became my artist series.
Nice.
Which is very cool. And I'll show that one a bit more later.
Okay. A little preview.
Exactly. But they sent me that one and I just absolutely fell in love with it. Like, tonally, it was everything I wanted. And like I said, it was lightweight. I liked the shape. Fit me a lot better because, you know, girls know when you play something, you need a little, some
little
of them
support.
Are a bit sore on the boob. So this one like fit perfectly. It just like felt really, really good in my hands. And then it was just cool how they took a chance on me, like someone that didn't have a massive following. Yeah. And then I've kind of grown with them, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been really cool, like the relationship. They're just so cool. Like whenever you go around to Jeff's house, go in his hot tub, go in his pool, wow. You know. And he's just like he's just a lovely guy, and the whole family's so lovely. And I like that level of customization that you can do on the guitars, and
yeah.
The guitar builder on their website, you'll be there all day designing a favorite guitar, you know.
We did a rundown not that long ago with Steph Carpenter from the Deftones,
and he was speaking
so highly of his experience. I know he's a loyal ESP guy, but he was talking very highly of Jeff and the Kiesel crew. He was like, he would just throw stuff at them and they would turn it around and it would just be above beyond what he thought it was going to be.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like I had this tour sort of come up in December and like mid October, I was like, can you guys make me some guitars for this tour that kind of themed around the tour? So they made me three different guitars within that time frame and got them all over to me for the first show. So including this one, which is just so like not many guitar companies kind of do that and give that much care to their artists and what, you know, just like their unique instruments is just so cool. Like I've always loved custom instruments and stuff. And it's,
from a night to night basis, are you already knowing what songs you're going to want to play the guitars with, or is it kind of each night's different how you're feeling?
I pretty much know exactly where my switches are going to be. Honestly, mainly all of these guitars are relatively similar in tone. So, and the tunings are all standard on all of them. So the main switching is just for looks more than anything. It's like for different parts of the show. So this is kind of like for the Lost Americana part.
New record, yep.
Yeah, and then we play the whole Tickets to My Downfall in full where I have my pink guitar, which was made for like that album because that's the kind of color of that one. And then I switched to my blue one, which has a little bit more versatility in tone for where I have my solos and stuff towards the end.
Gotcha. Now I know that, you know, within the Kiesel shop, people can customize even your signature model to their own liking, but what do you have? Are you running with the, when it comes to the pickups, I see the Sustainiac, obviously, but what's the bridge pickup?
So the bridge pickup is just the normal Kiesel lithium passive pickup, which I love. I've always really, really liked the tone of that one. It's what is in all of my guitars, and I love the tone for all of my solos and stuff. I'm always on that one. And then, I have what makes kind of my signature models unique is I have the Sustainiac here, which... basically, it kind of just makes your guitar ring out forever.
Yeah.
And you can have like different octaves. Exactly, yeah. And it's just, I have so much fun with it. Like, one of my favorite things about guitar is just the silly sounds you can make. Like, I love Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, like anyone who did all of that kind of silly nonsense.
Yeah.
And I do that. I don't do it that much in this show, to be fair, because it's a bit more like kind of poppy. There's not many moments that actually fit it. But I do it a lot in my own shows and my own kind of shred versions and stuff. I use it all the time. So, I might actually, because this one's for the tour, I'm thinking about maybe switching this Sustainiac out just because I don't use it in the first few songs. So I'm thinking about maybe switching that out to, like, I don't know, like a Seymour Duncan or something, just to get, like, a bit of a warmer neck pickup. I'm not sure yet, but...
Is that a kill switch then?
Yes.
And are you using that at all in this show?
I do use a kill switch in this show. We do a lot of things where we, like, ring out stuff and we, you know, have, like, these just... endings and cool moments where it's just like a big ending, and that always sounds really cool. It adds a little bit of rhythm to it, and just Cole has a lot of them on his guitar as well, so we kind of all do it together. It's very fun.
Now, before we move on to any of the other guitars, have you ever messed around with active pickups, whether it's Kiesel stuff or you know the other brands out there?
I have, but I don't have like a bunch of experience. Obviously this is active, but I don't have a bunch of experience with active pickups. I just know I kept forgetting to change the batteries when I needed it, and I'd be like, wait, why isn't this working? And it would take me ages to figure out that I actually needed to change them. So I don't get on with them that well, but I'd definitely be interested to try some, like especially on tours and stuff where I have a tech that changes the batteries for me.
Well, let's move on to another guitar.
Yeah, sure. So this is arguably my favorite girly guitar. This is the Tickets to My Downfall guitar, which is offensively pink and sparkly and girly. And I wanted to make it as kind of disgusting as possible. And I absolutely love it.
I love the fret mute matching the strap.
Exactly. It's got to. I had to have like the bling everywhere. It's just this really cool solid pink. Again, it's got the black limber body and all the necks are walnut necks. This one has a maple stripe in it.
Cool.
Which is very nice. And it's Bird's Eye Maple Neck. Is it roasted? I think it's roasted as well.
Looks like it.
Which is, it's just so pretty. It sounds so good. And again, we have the Sustainiac in this, the tremolo system. And it's like, again, the tones are quite similar between them because they're all kind of the same guitar, just different colors, more or less. You get a little bit of variation from the different fingerboard woods and stuff.
Of course.
But yeah, it's a really nice guitar. This one's very fun to play as well. And it always looks really cool on stage.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's quite important to me, is just how it looks on stage. It looks cool in pictures and stuff, especially with this gig, because it's sort of like the fashion and like the looks are quite a big part of it, if you know what I mean, compared to like a normal rock gig. It is quite, you know, everything's got to fit.
Oh, yeah.
That's an important part of our job too. So that's why it's cool. You can get custom guitars from Kiesel, you know?
Now, what should we know about strings? I know you kind of covered that, your standard tuning, but what strings are you using?
I use Paradigm 10-246 Ernie Ball, which I love. I've never had a strip, touch wood. Oh my God, there's no wood anywhere.
Right here, your guitar.
My head. Yes, oh my God, thank God. but yeah, touch wood, I haven't had a string break at all during any of any MGK show I've done. I haven't had a string break. We change them every kind of two shows to make sure they're fresh. But yeah, they're really, really great. Paradigms just last a lot longer and have a bit more kick to them.
Are you 10-46 kind of even on your own stuff too, your solo
stuff?
Yeah,
yeah. It's just sort of, I find nines a bit too, like, you
Snaky,
bend it and it'll like bend up to the gods. and the other ones are too, my fingers are too weak for the anything above an 11. Yeah. My fingers get ripped to shreds. They're only little. So, 10-46 is quite. Sometimes I'll put heavy bottoms on for my own stuff if I'm like drop tuning or something like that.
Well, right on. Let's move on to this one behind us here. We kind of got a taste of it earlier, but let's give it its full spotlight.
Yeah, so this one is one I don't actually use much in the show, so this has kind of been my B-rig. So I've used it for like Formula One, for Fans Warped Tour, and things like that. Just because I wanted to give the new ones a bit of love, honestly.
Yeah.
But this one I played a lot in like the last tour, and you can see it's very like road. My dog's been chewing on the end of it. Like, this is my
Patrick pointed that
guitar.
Out to us.
Yeah. It's my oldest guitar, and I absolutely love it though. Like, I love all the little marks and the scrapes. I think that's what makes a guitar like cool and unique and stuff. So yeah, this was the first one they sent me.
And so what were the changes that you made between this one kind of being like, hey, we're Kiesel, we like what you do, and then now you're a signature artist with several models. Was there any changes you requested, or is it kind of...
So it's still the same wood. Like, I loved the black limber wood. I always knew that was what I wanted. So that's carried on through. Obviously, this pickup's changed.
Yeah.
But you can get the SL6 model without the Sustainiac, still has that pickup in it. It just doesn't have the trem system. One thing I changed was I think this was just a black limber neck to a walnut neck. Just because the walnut neck is a lot like slicker, it's a lot smoother, you can move your hands. This one, it's still great, but it's a little bit grippy sometimes on the hands. But that was like the main change. Other than that, like, nothing's changed too much. Like, honestly, when I got this guitar, it was just like perfect for me.
Even the neck profile, like, you had no changes or suggestions?
No changes to the neck part. I think, I'm trying to think if I made it shorter. I think I just kept it like the same. Like all of them play very, all of them play pretty much the same, and that's kind of what I wanted, because I want to be able to change without feeling
thinking
any different.
It.
Exactly, and like the action's super low on all of them, and like it just makes you be able to play a lot faster. But yeah, everything's more or less been the same, medium, jumbo, frets, everything. Like, it was kind of exactly, because I spoke to them in detail what I wanted it for, which was specifically kind of like a versatile guitar, but also one that you could really shred on and kind of do all the silly nonsense that you don't usually really need to do at all. So it's just been, it's good. It's got good heel cut there as well, and so this is my old baby.
Now, do you name any of your guitars? Are you a namer?
I'm not really a namer. I named them, I've never named any of my Kiesels, but I'm open to suggestions. If anyone has any suggestions, please let me know.
Now, is there any more in the boat that you want to show off?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Okay. Yeah, let's get them all their proper shine.
Yeah. Oh, whoops.
There's another ding. Don't blame the dog on that one.
No, that was the dog. I am quite clumsy with my guitars. Well, that's the thing. They've got to be strong as well. If they're going to be on tour, they have to be strong. This is one that I use, probably like the main one I use for this tour.
Okay.
Because it has got like both the bridge and the neck pickup. So for a lot of like the acoustic moments and clean stuff that I'll do, I like to be able to switch it and have that option of having like a nice neck. Like, the Sustainiac one is nice, but it's not quite like the rounded tone that I want, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit too just like high-endy, and top-endy even, I guess. So this is the one I play the most. Still has the kill switch and everything. This is still a signature, but this is like the more basic model. So this is the SL6 rather than the SL6X. But It's super pretty. It still goes with like the theming, the red, white, and blue. Yeah. Super cool, like flame maple top with the natural wood binding as well, which I love.
Yeah.
And this one's got like the pointed headstock as well, which is very nice. But yeah, this one's like one of those just old, faithful, reliable ones that always works, always stays in tune. Just a workhorse.
Yeah, you know? That's what you're asking for.
Exactly. I can bang it around and it'll be fine.
You just proved it.
Exactly.
What's the last one we got here?
The last one is a relatively new one. This one was like one of the ones they made me as well. I just sort of wanted a green one. Can't tell you why, but it's really nice. I love like the poplar bell top on that with like the see-through. I think it's such a beautiful wood. Like keys will work really hard to like match the two pieces of wood together so they look like seamless and it just...
Oh, so that it is two pieces.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
And they put it together and it just looks... So like you can kind of see,
okay, yeah, here,
but it just looks like they spend a lot of time like matching it up, and it's so I think this might be 5A or 7A grade, like it's, man, a super high grade.
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Honestly, mine too. This is one I can't bang around. I have to be careful with. But yeah, it's super pretty. Again, same walnut neck with a maple stripe and black limber body, and you got the choice of,
oh yeah, the jack in the back.
Yeah, you got a jack in the back and a jack, not too sure why, double trouble. Just so you can choose, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, and I always have fret wraps on my guitars because I cheated at school, I cheated guitar, you know?
Yeah, you use that even for the MGK gig?
Yeah, like if I've got like sort of, like not as much. It's like for my solos and stuff, I'll usually just pull it up just to make sure I've got that kind of extra safety of making sure everything sounds good and it sounds super clean because, you know, it's loud as hell in the marina.
So yeah, I want to
make sure
you're
playing well. Exactly. But
Now, what should we know about your rig? I know that you've played the quad cortex on your own stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what did you walk into with this gig?
So with this gig, they wanted me to use a Kemper, which I'd never really touched before, and I've still never really touched. It's sort of more, I work with my tech who knows how to use it 100% and to kind of get the tones I want. So I kind of describe what I want and the changes I need. And he'll kind of do it, and I know the foot switch, and that's pretty much it. I would like to be able to, one day, like, be able to take it home. It's just because it's in the rig, so I'm not able to, like, fly home with it, you know, to the UK and actually, you know, explore it and see the sounds I can get and stuff.
I'm sure if you, like, you ask Kemper nicely, they might send you one.
But, I'd like to get to know it more. But it's a good rig. You know, I was never super keen on a Kemper. I wasn't sure about if it would feel like a bit too electronic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I was always playing a diesel amp with, in parallel to an EVH. That's like my ideal rig. But obviously that's not very, I can't really transport that very easily. But we've
kind of. Hell of a rig.
I know, I absolutely love it. And we've kind of built it a little bit into like what it could sound like. We've captured it a bit, but you can't get it exactly the same, but it sounds great. And it being so versatile and being able to change things on a dime so quickly is really, really good. And like, I like to be able to just run around and be silly and not think too much about having a massive pedal board, if you know what I mean. Like, so you guys can tell I'm not very coordinated. So the easier, the better it is. In fact, I can just press one button and it changes from a crazy lead tone to a beautiful, clean, harmonic.
Less thinking, and you're able to connect with the audience and just focus on your performance.
Exactly, and I think that's sort of more what this gig is about, personally, you know. But at home, I use the Quad Cortex, which I love. I've used the Neural DSP in like all of my YouTube videos. So when they came out with that pedal, I was like, I've got to get it.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's almost completely taken over the diesel and EVH.
Just collecting dust.
Yeah, well, it's just more out of ease more than anything, you know, like just the ease of transportation when you've got like gigs and you need to, you know, I can't be lugging around two massive amps, you know, especially when, you know, I have neighbors, you know, they're always terrified whenever I move in. I'm bringing these giant like 4x12 stacks.
Their
like,
ears just start ringing, seeing it pull in.
Yeah.
That just looks loud.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just sort of easier, I think, in the modern world to have those. And I usually use the Nolly archetype, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I absolutely love. That's like pretty much what all of my lead tones at home are based off.
Well, not to pin you down, and we're filming this towards the end of December, but what can people expect on the horizon? I know that you got a lot of your itineraries filled with doing this gig, but
yeah,
what what can your fans expect either on YouTube or, you know, maybe some more music coming out of you in 2026?
Yeah.
What can you preview for us?
So I've got some solo shows in the UK, end of January, Winter's End Festival, and a couple of my own shows in Holmfirth and somewhere else, KK Steel Mills. So if you're from the UK, come to those. Other than that, I definitely want to start writing again. I'm thinking about maybe doing some more instrumental albums.
All right.
Which I'm super looking forward to, because like imposter syndrome was all like vocals.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking forward to like getting to learn techniques a bit more. I feel like when you're on the road and stuff, you don't learn and practice as much, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. And I'm excited to kind of delve into some new things and trying to learn some new licks. And like, I learn the best from writing. So I'm really looking forward to doing that, probably while we're on the road next year. But yeah, we're on the road with MGK pretty much February to end of July.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big year of lots of shows, lots of touring, but I'm super excited.
Now, I know obviously you look at the numbers on your YouTube and Instagram and you know you have legions of fans. Mm-hmm. But when they show out to your shows, your solo shows, that's got to be a feeling where it's like you're connecting with people that are otherwise just in the comments section or DMs or whatever they are, where it's... You probably almost have a doubt in yourself when you're like, wow, I have fans. I sell at these shows. Because I get the emails. I see you're selling out these shows at Troubadour or like in LA and stuff. And then obviously in your homeland, you're selling out shows too there. It's like, it's got to be a trip.
Yeah, honestly, it was amazing. Like, I think we didn't know that we had a live like audience at all, really, until we did the Underworld. And we were going to do a smaller venue, but then we sold that out in like a couple of minutes. So we upgraded to the London Underworld for our first gig. And just sort of seeing that translation of fans and getting to meet them and hang out with them and stuff has just been amazing to see. Because, you know, when it's on a screen,
detached.
You can't really, like, understand what the numbers mean, if you know what I mean. But when you actually see them coming to the shows and see them singing along to the songs and, like, you know, knowing the words and stuff, it's such a cool experience that I'm so grateful to have, honestly, with alongside this gig as well. It's, you know, I love my solo stuff. I love doing shreddy nonsense. That's like where my heart will always lie. So, you know, they're my favorite gigs, it's got to be said.
Well, to a new generation, you know, we grew up reading magazines and stuff and putting the posters on the wall, but to a new generation, it's YouTube people, and you're one of those guitar heroes. So congratulations and continued success. Sophie, thank you for your time.
Much. Thank you, so lovely to meet you.
So lovely to meet Sophie, and you guys keep checking out Rig Rundowns and then go check out her channel.